Hey, everybody, it's Rob Roberts. I know this is a really weird way to kick off the podcast, but this is a really weird episode of Orange Lounge Radio. So here's what happened. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter show than usual this week because we actually recorded this while there was a big storm going on in our hometown of Sacramento, California. And it actually ended up that there was a storm so big that it kind of presented a hurricane style winds, which is really unheard of in California. And it knocked out power for 100,000 people in the area, which unfortunately included us at Orange Lounge Radio Studios. But unlike the one or two times in our 15-year history where this has happened to us before, this time we were broadcasting on Twitch. So all of our audio was actually saved thanks to the fact that we were broadcasting on Twitch. So I was able to stitch together a little piece of the podcast here. Thanks to Bobby Blackwell for his help, by the way, in saving some of this audio. So we can at least present the parts of the show that we were able to do on Twitch. But for that reason, the audio is going to sound a little weird. It does some weird cuts and things that you might not be used to hearing on the podcast. Some audio is going to be really out of whack when we're running some video at the same time. So I apologize for all that, but it's better than nothing, which is what Mother Nature wanted us to do. So here you go. Here's the first part of the lost episode of Orange Lounge Radio from this past week, episode number 758. Orange Lounge Radio.
Dark Sakura, Sky, and Loki. Tonight, new year, new stream, but still Orange Lounge Radio to you and me. Happy New Year, one and all. The year's expected excitement and plenty of other happenings are already in progress, and there's plenty of news to cover, so let's jump right in and start the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, everybody out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 758 of our show for this January the 6th of 2019. Back for the first show of the new year after a little holiday break. I am Rob Roberts, and joining me as always here in studio is Techmaster Loki. How are you doing?
It's me. I'm here.
You're here. You're back. How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have a good holiday break?
It was all right. Yeah. I had a lot of opportunity to play games that I didn't take.
Okay. Okay.
So instead I worked on stuff, I guess.
So you worked on stuff, or you worked on like gaming projects, your own game, your...
I worked on Stepmania stuff, and I think I may have played... Maybe I played a few games, but it was mostly... Stepmania stuff.
All right. Well, we'll get into that during our gaming weeks in a little bit. But now the resolution that people want to know from about three episodes ago, that in-joke that had everybody dying about you guys telling the kids you were going to take them to the broccoli farm when in reality that was the trip to Disneyland,
yes,
right? Okay, so you were going to unveil that whole thing on Christmas, right?
I wanted to, but have not done that.
So they still think they're going to the broccoli farm?
They're still convinced that there's a broccoli farm out there that they're going to. So... The plan is...
Do they know that the broccoli farm is in Southern California? Or
yeah, see, they know that they're going to...
You didn't tell your kids on Christmas?
No, we didn't. So we're going... Yeah, they know that they're going to Los Angeles.
Okay. Okay, that's...
Some relatives of ours, though, are like... They're all, oh, yeah, we're going on vacation to Southern California. Oh, wait, you guys going to Disneyland? I'm like, no, we're not going to Disneyland. We're going to Los Angeles. Shut the fuck up.
I love it. I love it. As ActDef says in our Twitch chat, the broccoli farm of the stars. Yes. Who knew all that on Broccoli Way? Not here tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She is still on a work break. She will be joining us here in studio January 20th. So we're going to have to rearrange the look of everything to fit one more in here.
No, we're not. She's just going to sit on the other side of the camera.
I think she wants to show off the wigs. So,
oh, she's going to show off wigs?
I think so. Well, my favorite idea for getting Jamie was the Dr. Claw, where you'd be able to see her arm, and maybe we'd have like a robot arm or something. I don't know. But I like that idea, but we'll see. And then maybe a little wig. But we'll see.
What about, like,
that out with her later.
I haven't messed with OBS enough to know, like, can we do like Instagram filters on there and shit? You know, like
I think yeah, because you can kind of do like the chroma key, like I used to
like I meant just like
plugins.
You know, do like some motion tracking for like an animated thing that's over her, so you don't see.
I don't want to do all that garbage.
No?
I just know. So we'll see. I'm gonna work out whatever she's comfortable with, so you guys can check that out. Because of course we do tape live every Sunday night at Twitch.tv/VOG Network. We're a part of the Voice Geeks Network live with the Bobby Blackwolf Show on Sunday nights. We are right after after him. He's on at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, and we are right after at about 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, and other great podcasts on the Voice of Geeks Network that you can check out. Not all of them live on Twitch yet. Some of them don't want to be, but I know Anime Jam Session going to be making the move over to Twitch later this month. And
nice.
I think that whole filter thing you're talking about, I think they are doing something. I don't want to give too much of their stuff away, but I've heard they may do something like that. So that's all I'm going to say. So stay tuned for that when Anime Jam Session comes to Twitch. So we are going to get into some news. I know we have some big stuff that's going on with Japan and these laws. But first, I want to wish a happy MAGFest to those that actually went out to MAGFest.
It looks fun.
It does look fun. Actually, what's pretty cool is that we were actually sent some B-roll of, like, this is what MAGFest actually looks like. So our pal Rama was actually at MAGFest. So if you don't know what MAGFest is, it's like this big festival that goes on, Music and Games Fest, that actually goes on out in the D.C. area. And they have other satellite ones. They do smaller shows. They do a Mag West. So, I mean, Mag is kind of this thing that they're putting all over the place. This is, I think, what they're calling Super Mag Fest right now. So they're actually doing this back in. And so, sadly, you guys can't see this in the podcast, but for those watching on Twitch, we're actually looking at footage that DJ Rama S shot of the game room from this year, where you saw some, like, people playing Amati games. They have a very impressive collection of pinball tables as well. And the whole like catch to this whole thing or whatever is that these are open. These rooms are open like 24/7, basically, for people to play in, participate in. So people can go to play in these rooms and play games the whole time.
Roman wants to clarify it wasn't from his cell phone. It was actually his DSLR camera.
Oh, my bad. I thought it was his cell phone. My bad. I guess I confused uploading from cell phone. So sorry that tag was bad, Rama, but there you go. Anyway. So, you can see there's several people playing U-beats. There are lots and lots of music game representation that happens there, which is interesting because I know they were having some problems in, like, Tokyo Attack and their agreement, but I think they were able to find somebody else to kind of take over and provide lots of the music-based games, as well as some of the other, classic arcade games and DDR. Well, that's one of the music games, I suppose. But I think at one point in here, they'll get to where people are playing Rock Band, like, projected up on a wall, which is something that you can actually see as well. And I guess the chat is telling me that the video is really, really loud. I thought I'd turned it down, but I'll turn it down even further so hopefully you guys can hear me a little better. You can see they actually have, like, little pods that they bring in for MAGFest and so forth. So it's a lot of fun. And what's not in this video, unfortunately, but, you know, there's only so much.
Are those like the virtual world pods?
No, I think there's something like a little bit different, actually. Yeah. But,
there it is. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the Rock Band that's playing on the wall. But anyway, they have lots of stuff that's going on at MAGFest, including concerts that go on the entire time. So they actually have bands that are playing chiptune music and doing, like, other awesome things all that time while everybody's gaming in these rooms, console rooms, and I'm sure there's places where you can do RPGs, the typical panels that you would expect. I mean, it's a really fun convention. I'm really sad I missed it, but the reality is, you know, OLR is not my job that pays the bills. I have a day job, just like he has a day job, and Dark Sakura obviously has a day job, which is why she's not here for a little bit. And so the day job, you know, I only get so much time off, and so Dragon Con, and then, you know, Alan and I got to take a trip here and there. So, you know, it just, I don't have quite the time to be able to do MAGFest. Maybe next year. But I wonder if I should be saying this early, but what the heck? Why not? Just for you guys, a little secret between us. So next year, I already have a trip planned for March. So guess who talked me into something pretty big? It was Grandpa from the Starboard Power Coupling, right?
Uh-huh.
So Grandpa actually talked me into going on the Star Trek cruise.
Star Trek cruise?
Yes, there's a Star Trek cruise. So they're actually going to have, like, some of the celebrities from Star Trek that actually, like, get on the cruise, get on the boat, and it travels all around, like, the Miami, the Bahamas, and all this stuff. Grandpa is actually there right now. He's actually there. So they're booking for next year already. So he talked us into it. So that's going to be a fun trip for next year. So, but sadly might be the reason I can't do MAG next year. But we'll see. Because the cruise is in March next time. So we'll see.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
I would, if it were me, you know, if I was one of those Star Trek actors, I'd be like, I'm not getting on a boat with these people.
They make money. They get their money from autographs and pictures. It's like a floating convention. It'll be a lot of fun.
All right.
So, and I know Bobby's a big cruise person. I don't remember if I told him this yet. So I'm sure he'll be excited for me too and that whole thing. So yeah. So it'll be fun. All right. Anyway, enough talk about fun and conventions. Let's talk about more serious things like the law. Let's talk about what's happening in Japan, because there's a big new modding law that went into effect over in Japan. Right, Logie?
Yes. So it's illegal. Don't be doing it. So, you know, a lot of the Japanese companies are pretty strict when it comes to modding and, you know, different piracy devices or whatever. But you may remember, you know, very recently last year that Nintendo cracked down against some ROM sites. You know, in the past, they've, you know, come after, of course, modding devices like the R4, but now they basically part of this Japan's Association of Copyright for Computer Software, modding game save data and consoles violates the country's unfair competitive prevention law. And basically, it sounds like the DMCA here, but more strict. The problem, though, with it, I think, is that, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're going to get in trouble for is if you're selling tools. Like, for example, there's this company, CyberGadget, that has a save editor tool that allows, you know, users to put in cheat codes and stuff like that. Well, they have to stop selling the save editor on their Japanese site. But I think a lot of this, if you do it in home, they're not really going to catch you and, like, put you in jail or something like that. It's if you just try to make money off of it, it's more like it.
So that's – well, I mean, to be fair, some of that is of questionable legality in the U.S. as well, like in extreme circumstances. Like, I seem to remember we've had stories on the show about people that run bots in, like, World of Warcraft or even, I think, like, League of Legends. People that run bots and cheats for these games, they usually get taken to court in a civil sense. I don't think anyone's been, like, dragged off to prison over this.
Yeah.
But you know how we're all sue happy here
in
America.
It's not illegal to do that. It's illegal. I think in those cases, it's just – maybe they're saying that they're in violation of the end user license agreement or something, and so they're taking it's a civil case, but it's not like it's against the law to do that. In fact, actually, I think quite the contrary. In North America, they have the I want to say that there you have the right to be able to root your own console. I think you can mod your consoles and you know fix them and stuff like that, but they you know of course the company doesn't have to let you onto their services if you do that, but it's not illegal for you to modify your consoles. It's just that you may lose some functionality from that.
Now, the other thing I kind of think about is that something that's been very popular lately, especially with the PlayStation Classic, we were out for a week because of the holidays, so we haven't been live in 2 weeks, so we missed kind of the week. Well, I mean, not a lot happens between Christmas and New Year anyway, because most of the game industry is also taking a vacation as well, right? But I know that one of the big things that happened in that break that we were out is that the PlayStation Classic all of a sudden dropped in price, right? Like a lot of people
yeah,
are talking
it's only 60
it's
bucks.
Only 60 bucks now.
Still
and
not
some
totally
people were kind of like doing like super couponing at Target to like get it down even further. I was seeing on Twitter people were getting it at like 30, 40 bucks, and it was like through a Target hack, you know, like couponing with their you use like a normal coupon, but you could also use the Cartwheel, you know, that app they
yeah,
use.
Yeah, Cartwheel, and then like, I'm sure the red card is
yeah,
the other thing.
Yeah, so anyway, you ended up with like a double coupon. So people were getting that thing even cheaper. But my point is, people are starting to now, I think, take interest in that PlayStation Classic because they want to mod the hell out of it. But technically in Japan, you're like breaking the law doing that, but we're kind of interpreting this to be the problem would be if you then turn around and flip those consoles on eBay. Or the Japanese equivalent, which I think Yahoo Auctions is still a thing over in Japan. So,
right.
You know, but whatever, regardless, like modding those consoles, then turn around and flipping them around, that's illegal. But what you do in your own home, the government is going to have a hard time tracking that down, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that if you're modding your console, like, say, if I modded a Switch or something like that and I'm in Japan, I don't think Nintendo is going to turn you over to the authorities for that. But if you're trying to, you know, say you create a mod chip to put into the Switch and that makes it really easy and you try to sell that, then you might be in trouble.
But it does seem very short-sighted about the global situation. I mean, many times a lot of these chips and things are coming from other countries.
Right.
Like even all the way back to when we would plug in something in the back of our PlayStation 1s so we could play burned discs. a lot of those were coming in from, ironically, Japan, but also places like Hong Kong,
yeah.
you know, other countries, basically. So, I mean, Japan, I guess, could say in this law that you can't really import them or sell them. But, I mean, this is such a hard thing to enforce.
It is. And, but now, if you do get in trouble with this, you can face up to 5 years in prison and up to a 5 million yen fine, which is about $46,000.
Truthfully, that doesn't seem that bad, unless it's like per offense and it stacks up quickly, kind of like what happened with the ROMs on those ROM sites. Like, you know,
I wouldn't want to go prison for anything. I mean, that's stupid.
Oh, is it both? I thought it was prison or the fine. Sorry, I missed that. Yeah,
it's both. Yeah, okay. Together.
Yikes. Going to our chat at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Codeman says, just got a call from Nintendo, Rob. They are suing you for wearing that shirt. This shirt is actually, I've seen a ton of other people wearing this shirt too. It's on, I guess I can give him a shout out. It's from Threadless. And mm-hmm. for those on the podcast, it's got like little 8-bit representations of pretty much like every Nintendo thing they've ever made. And I know I've seen other people wearing this shirt on like YouTube and other things. So it's a pretty popular shirt. So, but they wouldn't. Why would you sue me, the consumer? This actually, as much as a tongue-in-cheek comment as that is, I think it does relate to what's going on with this story because Japan, you know, with this, I'm sure it's got a lot of sensationalist headlines about, oh, you mod something in Japan, you're going to go to prison. But it seems like it's much less the modder, the individuals themselves, but the people who are taking that and turning around and putting it out there for other people to consume.
Right.
I would bet these 3DS cards that allow you to dump, you know, Nintendo hates those things.
Oh yeah,
like dump the and they, like the flash carts and stuff. That's what they want to stop.
Yeah,
and this is probably to prevent that. You know?
It's just, I guess, more ammo for them to be able to come after them.
But do you think they're going to take the time to shut down nude Skyrim mods? Because that's
care about
Loki.
No, that's different. See, that this is more of like it says modifying game save data. That's a little weird though. I think they're talking about devices to do that, maybe patches and stuff. But like, I wouldn't think that just because of this, like, it would be illegal for you to use mods and like, you know, like you mentioned Skyrim, because of this. I don't think it has anything to do with that because that's basically you're, you know, allowed to create content for. I think it's more of like, I just hack and cheat devices is basically if it's morally wrong, although new mods might be morally wrong to some people. But if it's like breaking the game in a way that, you know, is unfair, then, yeah, it's probably bad. Like, you know, if you're selling aimbots or something like that, then
yeah, profiting off of someone else's game, essentially. Which is interesting because then how does streaming fit in all that? Like I have no idea like where streaming culture in Japan is at. Like, I'm obviously completely ignorant to that. I would love to hear from listeners that might know that, but like I don't know if it's even on the same level as it is here.
I don't know.
YouTube,
like, it'd be interesting to see now that this law's in place what, you know, what actually is going to be what it's going to be used for. Because
yeah,
I don't think they're going to go after everybody. I think they're just going to use this to go after people that, you know, do different things. It's just like, you know, it's the whole DMCA stuff. Yeah, those laws are on the books. Yeah, it's illegal to do certain things, but do people still do those things? Yeah. So, I mean, it's not going to stop the individual person from modding or doing whatever. It just might make it a little harder to get the tools to do that. Or, you know, if you're looking to profit off of that, maybe you might think about not doing that.
Bobby's kind of pointing out that modders do get hired sometimes, though. Like, especially you think about, like, Valve. And yeah, a lot of their teams and things like Team Fortress 2. Like, Team Fortress was a Quake mod, right? Dota, the original Dota was a Warcraft 3 mod, right? So Valve loves modders. So, you know, mods, it is an interesting kind of counterpoint, though, is that modders are not always like a bad thing. But I believe ID always loved the Quake modding thing. I know Warcraft embraced the modding thing. Like, some times the original games kind of embrace the modding scene and really encourage you to do that stuff. Hell, with Blizzard StarCraft 2, like that whole arcade thing is mods, 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 right?
I'm just surprised, though, that they just even bring up modding save game data. I would think that it's modifying consoles would be something, but I don't know unless that they're talking about save game data as in, you know, patching a new ROM onto your system. So they're basically saying soft mods and hard mods is what I'm thinking.
There's a couple of other great comments in chat I want to get out here before we move on to the next story. Questbuster says, Japan has also cracked down on gaming bars for playing games without consent from the publishers. that's so fascinating to me. I mean, and you think like, God, there's bars here that do game night all the time that I'm sure are not paying any royalties. In fact, I know at least some of the local bars. I went to a gamer night that was like Smash Brothers or something, and like they're not paying Nintendo money for that. But I also kind of look at it as it's kind of like free advertising for Nintendo. But bars have jukebox laws technically when you play music, like at a bar,
yeah.
Like you're supposed to pay the music industry for that.
But like I don't get like. I don't know. I just think the whole, even that I think is kind of ridiculous sometimes, but I mean, I understand that licensing and everything, and it's just what we let these industries get away with. As far as like being able to play a game in like a location or something and having to pay rights to that, I think that's dumb. I understand like movies because that's basically, you know, watching a movie or listening to a song is basically the same as if you went to see it in a theater or you're listening to it on the radio or whatever the case. So that I can understand, you know, paying licensing rights for. Playing a game at a tournament or something doesn't seem that that's the same thing, because a lot of times, you know, you interacting with the game actually makes the experience. Watching somebody do that, that doesn't, I don't know. I think it's just a weird grab for cash at that point. It's like you purchase the game.
It all comes back to this thing that like copyright, IP, trademark, and just like knowledge protection. I don't know what else to call it, but those types of laws in the U.S. were written way before all this technology has stepped in. And every year we're moving more and more into uncharted territory. And because this country, you know, not to get on a political soapbox, I try my best. But I mean, the reality is clearly if you look at what's going on in politics right now, they're focused on all this other stuff, right? Nobody cares about trying to reform trademark or IP or trying to bring that into a new age.
Certainly
not at this moment. But do we feel like anybody's going to run on that platform in 2020? Because I really doubt it, considering everything else that's going on in the world politically. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this
it does need a major overhaul.
It does. Like, somebody, we just need to kind of like come to the table and evaluate it in this technological age. Because, you know, not only do we have a global market where, you know, even like game releases, they don't come out a year earlier in Japan anymore, because people know if the gap is too big. Sorry, I look shocked, because was that thunder that just shook the
window? I don't know.
Holy crap. We have storms going on here in Sac, where our show is based right now, and we don't get thunder like that here.
I think
that's
just wind. It's really windy out there.
Really? Wow, that shook the whole door. Over there. Sorry, I got derailed.
Well, the wind is coming from that direction.
It is.
So.
All right. Woo, that's scary. That's scary.
Because I had to drive in it just a second ago, and that wasn't much fun with stupid people that don't know how to drive.
If
in
the
rain.
Show just suddenly disappears tonight, y'all will know what
it's
happened.
It's because Thanos snapped his fingers and we all vaporized.
Clearly.
Spoiler.
The rapture's happening in Sacramento right now, actually. No, I'd get on my phone and I'd hop in the chat and say what's going on real fast. Speaking of saying to folks in chat, I did notice that we have Cheesy Tots 96 in chat, says first time listening live. Well, welcome. I'm glad this Twitch thing
Cheesy Tots are delicious.
I'm glad this whole move to Twitch is kind of exposing to new people. That's what we were. That was the plan, Loki. That was the whole idea.
We had a plan.
Just like the Cylons, there was a plan somewhere in there. They have a plan. Let's see. Also in chat, Codeman says, can we get a modder to mod the new Sonic movie poster? Perhaps. I don't know. Let's see.
No amount of Photoshop is going to fix that movie poster.
ActDeft in chat says, Rob, what about that UPS? Okay, so the chat's been razzing me about
this. I saw one
years.
The other day. Because
that's what I should have asked Santa.
When I take my kids to their gymnastics class, we always make a trip over to the Goodwill that is next door. And I saw a UPS sitting there for like $5, but I didn't pick it up because
tell me off air
I don't
what that is.
I don't know if it's any good because it's a Goodwill, so who knows?
It can't be any worse than what we have now.
I should have picked it up because I was like, you know, we don't have one of those. I'll check next week.
All right, sounds good. But no, you, because I've spent money on getting the video going and all that stuff. Come on, guys, priorities. Sorry, it's just. It's one of those things that you don't think about until you need it on a day like today where you're like, I wonder if the show's going to shut off. But the nice thing is now, because we're streaming to Twitch, there is going to be a backup of any audio that's done. There's going to be a backup on Twitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if worse comes to worse, I just go back and record the – and so we can have a podcast of what went out. But yeah, the lightning striking the house and all that is definitely no fun. I know that. I understand. Anyway. All right. Anyway, anything else we want to say about the Japanese copyright law before we get into our gaming weeks? Or modding law. Sorry, I shouldn't say copyright law. But I feel like it all ties into that.
I think it's that the wording seemed to be kind of a reach as far as like modding save game data. But I don't know. The actual details, this is like, you know, distribution of game save data editors and programs. Distribution, selling, auctioning serial codes and product keys without the software maker's permission.
Oh, that's to get at those companies like G2A, whatever. That's probably not the right name, but it doesn't matter anyway because they're kind of sketchy, as we got into on the last show.
Services that offer editing, hacking of saved data, and modifying hacking of game consoles. So it sounds like it's more of like the programs and stuff.
It is interesting how these laws are very like corporation friendly, isn't it?
Well, and notice it's distribution of a game save data editor, not using it necessarily, or distribution of those serial codes. I mean, just don't use G2A and services. And so it's offering services and tools, not necessarily the actual process of doing it yourself. So
okay.
I think it's, you know, if you're going to use ROMs on your, you know, device, that's fine, just, you know, don't tell anybody or don't tell Nintendo that you're doing it or whatever, but
right.
Don't put up a goddamn website offering ROMs for anybody to download, because then that's gonna get you in trouble.
Yeah, go on to torrents like everyone else did. I mean, I wouldn't know anything about that. What are you talking about? Anyway, all right, let's move on. Let's get into our gaming weeks. Let's talk about the types of video games that we've been playing this week. Loki, you mentioned you haven't really been able to play a lot, but I'm sure you're still playing your DDR machine here and there, right?
I haven't been playing my DDR machine too much.
What?
And I'll tell you why. So, like, what happened was I was trying to put a new mix onto the machine. And so, apparently, I think it's the disc I burned was not great, because I burned it really quick. And I was like, it'll work fine. So, I've been, like, it took me a while to find a mix that worked on the machine again. I ended up going back to Extreme because it's like, I'm just not fucking with this anymore. Because every time I swap a mix out, that's 15 minutes. So like the other day, I was going to stream, but it took me, I tried to go to Fifth. I tried to go to Max. I tried to go to Disney Rave again. And then and I was like, fuck it, I'm just going back to Extreme. And that's like 15 minutes between each swap. And then on top of that, I thought the drive might have been bad because I swapped it to the second or third drive that I bought that was the one I was supposed to have, and it works. It's just, I think the disc is bad. I think the disc is just not burnt right. So I just went back.
Isn't there a thing with like really old lasers? Like if you burn a disc at like 48 speed or something, like way too fast. Like it has
I didn't burn it that fast. I burned it maybe 4 speed or one. It was 4 speed, I think.
I
dialed it way down because I know that if you burn it too fast, then yeah. And it's just the machines are very picky on the analog mixes and stuff, in which, you know, technically the newer mixes aren't analog mixes. They're the, you know, digital stuff. But it's the older mixes are just really picky on reading. So I would get it installed just fine. But then when it goes to read the actual data off of the disc to load everything, it just wouldn't do it. It'd give me a CD-ROM error. So I just went back to Extreme because I'm like, fuck it. I'm not going to worry about this because next thing that's going on there is going to be the set media machine anyways. I already have the PC built. I've got everything loaded on there. I'm just building the theme right now. So that's what I've been doing is I had a design and then I just didn't like the way it looked. And so I'm doing something different. And then my stupid dumbass got this like really elaborate idea because nothing I do can be simple. So now we're going to do something that involved me downloading hundreds of freestyle videos from the DDR scene. Yes, because my theme is based around DDR freestyle. And it's pretty badass. Like I'm not going to show this on camera, but I'll show.
Cool.
I'll show,
have it loaded in the.
I'm going to show Rob on camera.
You're blindsiding me with this.
I'm going to show you what my logo looks like, but it's going to actually have more.
Oh,
like,
this is the type of thing Mel B would give you a big hug for. This looks awesome. Yeah.
Yes, and it's exactly the type of thing that, yes, they're going to be.
So are you saying you're going to put like freestyle videos in the background of like DDR songs?
It's going to be in the intro of the whole thing. So
okay.
It's like.
Why do you have to do. You make these projects so huge so that you'll never finish them.
No. I have the template or the theme I'm building off of. I just wanted the intro part to look nice because originally I had like my idea was going to have like a video looping in the background, but for some reason, and I don't know if it's the video I'm choosing or something, but I can't get like in DDR Ace they have a cloud video that keeps looping, but I can't get any other video I try to swap that with or like put something that loops like that to loop perfectly. It like stutters and it doesn't seem to loop like continuously. I don't know. So I was going to change up how I'm doing the theme and everything with that video, but all the songs in the background so are going to have like video backgrounds and it's going to be awesome, but I don't know why I'm even bothering to do this because this is just shit I'm going to be streaming on camera, and you're not even necessarily going to even see the intro. But here's why, though, because eventually I do want to like distribute the theme
in
but
Japan.
In Japan, of course, because I want to get arrested in Japan. It's not modifying a game. I mean, it's modifying a program, an application. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time just researching like how to do different things, and so I'm in Blender now, actually. Doing a 3D mock-up of it so I can do like a panorama of a 3D logo and everything to project. Basically, here's to give you an idea. So I was looking for like the how you would call like, you know, projecting like an image, like, because I thought it was like 3D projection or was what it's called, but that's actually something different where you actually project 3D project like a computer image onto 3D objects and do fun stuff like that. But so I was looking for the terminology for that, and I came across, of course, the Marvel, you know, the Marvel Cinematic logo theme that they do with all the video stuff. And I'm like, I want to do something like that. So I may end up doing something like that, but we'll see. But anyways, so enough Semenia. So I did my cabinet is ready to play on again. So I am going to start streaming again this week. I meant to do it last week, but I wanted to do a different mix, and I just couldn't get it to work. So I'm like, fuck it, going back to Extreme again. And so it's all ready to go. I just have to go play now. But ironically, I've had the TV available to me most of this week. Why have I had the TV available to me this week? Because Santa Claus, got the kids 2DSs for Christmas. And so with that, they got, it came with New Super Mario Bros. 2. I bought them both 3D, or Mario Maker and Animal Crossing. And
you had to buy them both the game?
Yes.
Because they don't know how to share?
No, they don't know how to share. So, here's why, though. It's important, though. It's so they can play together and they don't have to take turns. Because the whole point is they fight over the console set.
Okay.
But there's an ironic twist to this. So, Animal Crossing. So, my son Josh loves Animal Crossing. My son Danny doesn't give a shit about it. But guess who does give a shit about Animal Crossing?
Your wife.
My wife. And she's been playing Animal Crossing this entire week. So
you finally figured out how to get your wife off the TV was to get her a DS in Animal Crossing. And now Isabel and her are off being BFFs.
So they're
talking
she's
about
playing Animal
Shonda.
Crossing. And I've had the opportunity to play games on the TV. I've sat down going, I don't even know what I want to play. Because like, I was like, well, I could play Red Dead Redemption 2. But I'm like, I don't really want to. And then I was like, I should buy Just Cause 4 or something like that, but I didn't want to buy another game with all these games in my...
I should start a complicated media project that nobody's going to see but myself and learn how to use Blender to create this elaborate introduction that's going to do me literally no good now that I have access to the TV.
Yes, that's exactly what I decided to do instead.
You're such a man. You're such a man with man problems.
But actual games. So actual games I did play. So okay. I did play a game. I bought one on Steam recently, and I can't remember the name of it now. It was called...
Well, it must have left an impression.
No, I just...
And that's the part where the power went out for the first time. So it was a really quick hiccup. It only went out for probably about 30 seconds, but it was enough to shut down all the computers and make us have to come back up on Twitch. So we did give it another go, and spare me the UPS jokes, guys. It does come up on the stream a little bit, but just with all the investment that's been going on and some of the new hardware and stuff to do the conversion to the Twitch video, buying a UPS to prevent a freak storm was not exactly the first thing on the list. Whoops, could have used that tonight. Anyway, here's the smaller, unfortunately, because it happened again. Spoiler alert. But here's the smaller second part of the show that was broadcast live. All right. Welcome back to Orange Lounge Radio. So what happened there in the little gap you're going to hear in the podcast recording is that we actually did have a power failure. So all that talking about I'm afraid this is going to happen, sure enough, came to light. We did have a power failure, so we lost Twitch and everything. We lost everything, obviously, for a couple minutes.
And everything's still flickering. So.
Everything's still flickering, so we may be hosed. So if it does happen again, sadly, at that point, I'm going to call the show at that point because it's just not safe to keep doing the show. But, yeah, all I can say is that these storms are crazy. Like, for California, they're crazy. For the rest of the world, they're probably not so bad. But for California, they're pretty crazy. And, yeah, so... the wind is blowing like mad, and I'm sure this will shut down the power. So anyway, thankfully, because we do broadcast on Twitch, we are getting the audio pulled, so we'll have that for the podcast. We won't like lose the episode completely, but it's just what a pain.
Yeah.
What an absolute pain. Anyway, when we left off, we were talking about your gaming week. We were talking about some of the things you were going through with your DDR machine. You talked about your wife and the DSs and that Animal Crossing addiction, all that. So that's
yeah. So they like their DSs and everything. So they've been playing that. So she's been doing that. I haven't decided what to play on console yet. Metronomicon was the game I played, and it's a rhythm like RPG game. I know Bobby's played it, but that's the game I purchased on Steam. So it's kind of like DDR, but it's an RPG. So it's kind of neat. So I played that a little bit. And then Katamari Reroll, finally got around to playing that.
Nice.
Which, it's Katamari. And then Pokemon Go, still been playing that. I think that's pretty much it, unfortunately.
Okay.
It's been pretty minimal.
So for my gaming week, the week we were off, since I know you were doing family stuff that Sunday and Dark Sakura still had her work thing, so there wasn't enough of us to do a show that week, but I ended up doing a stream of Katamari Damacy Reroll. So
Yeah,
that went really well, actually, since a lot of the people that would usually show up for OLR are watching that stream, so that was a really great thing to do. And the game's fun. You know, it's once I got past that introduction and was able to like get the video configuration,
it's
everything
dumb.
I want.
I don't know why they
did so
that.
Weird, because it's
Namco.
I think it's a lazy dump from the Switch version, but whatever. That was a lot of fun to play. I also took advantage of the Steam sale and I bought another game. I bought Soul Calibur 6, but I actually haven't gotten around to playing it yet. I'm hoping to do that in the next week. But another game I bought, part of the reason I haven't gotten around to Soul Calibur 6 yet, I bought Groove Coaster. So you know Groove Coaster, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
It's a music game, and it originally came out on the iPhone in like 2011, 2012. Like, it's been out on iPhone for years, but I think more people know it now because of its like Japanese arcade machine release. And if you go to like a round one, or I even saw it in the MagFest footage we were looking at earlier, that they have these big Groove Coaster machines. So this game is really popular in the arcade. So they actually have a version of it available on Steam. So I picked that up on the Steam sale because that's only – I think it's only been out for about 6 months.
Hmm.
And I had no – I somehow missed – we probably had talked about it on the show. That, you know, talking about it on the show does not always translate to – me going over to my computer and pressing the purchase button on Steam because I remembered to do it. So I finally did get it during the sale, and that's been fun to play. It doesn't recognize my Xbox 360 controller for some reason, which is
weird
because it has controller information in there. So I actually play with the WASD and the IJKL and that whole thing. So I actually play with those two thumbsticks. But it works. Like, I'm actually able to play it. And so if you don't know what Groove Coaster is, it's a music game. It's very bright, very colorful, very ravey, and, you know, you're going down this track. They call it coaster because, like, your little sprite, which a lot of times is the Space Invader because it's, you know, same company, goes down this track, and as you go through the track and hit notes, like, notes will come onto the track, and you hit buttons in time with it. But sometimes it's not just tap. Sometimes it's tap both. Sometimes it's slide. Sometimes it's wiggle. You know, it has you do these different things with the controllers, and it's fun. So it's just a fun little tap-along music game. So people that are into music games, I think, will get a kick out of it. And it's presented pretty well for Steam. I like the fact that it will recommend songs for you to play based on, like, the difficulty of other songs that you've been playing. So that's kind of neat. Obviously, there's a ton of DLC. I haven't really explored a lot of the DLC. I know Undertale stuff is available. That's kind of how I heard about this, actually, because a friend of mine was getting the Undertale DLC. So they have some interesting stuff on there. So, yeah, I've been playing a little bit of Groove Coaster on PC. So that's been fun. And continuing my adventures in World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy. And those, you know, Final Fantasy gets a big patch next week. Final Fantasy 14, that is, gets a big patch next week. So I'm really excited about that. And yeah, I think that's the bulk of the big stuff I've been playing. I still need to pick up Beat Saber because I actually charged all my Move controllers and all that with the intention of getting it, but then I didn't get around to it that night.
You just play Rez instead.
I have played Rez, but just not not recently. So, but I did I talked about Rez VR a couple weeks ago, right? Yeah. So I did finally get around to playing that. It was great. I really liked it. But like Beat Saber is probably the next thing I want to pick up on PlayStation. So I guess one other I should mention this game too, and it's my buddy Delvin's fault from VG Realness here on Twitch. He started playing Grim Dawn, which is like a Diablo-esque type of game that came out like probably about a year or two ago. I think they're on their expansion now. And so he was playing it so much, I was like, well, shoot, I want to play. So I started playing. I got a character up to like level 15, like further than I'd played it before. So I was having fun with that. The
game Grim Dawn?
Grim Dawn, yeah. It's Diablo-esque.
Oh, okay.
So it's that same like RPG, but in the action sense. And, you know, you build your character's classes, but it's a lot more complicated than Diablo, in my opinion. It's a little more, I think it's built more for fans of that genre. But it's a fun game. I wish my inventory was bigger because I feel like I'm always like having to go back to do inventory management. And that's the part of those games that gets a little bit dry. But I know pros of the genre would tell me, well, you have to pick what to take with you. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, but that's not, you know, other games like Diablo have spoiled me and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So exactly. So good guy, Bobby Blackwolf, already has Dropboxed the first part of the show to me so I can do post-production really easy
Yay.
Tonight. Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate that. And thank you, everybody, for your support continuing on in our chat room there. I really appreciate it. ActDeft, speaking of chat, says, I'd kill for a Theatrhythm on Switch. I would love Theatrhythm to come back. Like, I love the arcade version of Theatrhythm. I've been able to play that at round one, and so I think it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, I would love to play that again, especially, like, on the Switch or... Even if Nintendo's going to insist on keeping the DS being a thing, I would love another version of that on DS. To be frank, K Arts One in our Twitch chat says, "What's the name of that one free Diablo like on PC with the insanely big skill tree?" You're thinking of Path of Exile, I think, is the one. Path of Exile is also available on consoles. They have that on Xbox One, and I believe it was recently put out on PlayStation 4, and it plays pretty well on consoles, all things considered, just like Diablo kind of does. So, yeah, Path of Exile, I like the soundtrack in that game, too. It's got a really sweet soundtrack. I know it's a weird thing to compliment, but, like, you know, when a game soundtrack is really good, like, you notice, you know. So I noticed that Path of Exile had a pretty sweet soundtrack to it, too. So, and it's free, which is what people really like. But because it's free... Like, respecking is going to cost you money, if that's what, you know, they find ways to kind of nickel and dime you. Lots of cosmetics, of course. But I don't think, like they don't do it in an intrusive way. You know, I like the way they do it, they're doing pretty good for themselves, and they have a pretty successful franchise. So there is that. So, all right. Well, we're going to try to get on into some news here on this storm. I think the wind finally calmed down, so hopefully the worst of it has passed. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Good thing I shut off my computer in the other room and all that other stuff before tonight's show. It's just a bummer we were trying to do live internet radio tonight. What can you do? All right, let's move on. I guess we're going to get into some news, right? Let's do it.
So, you know, brand new console being announced by Slightly Mad Studios. They are the developers of Need for Speed Shift and Project Cars, and they basically made the CEO, Ian Bell, put out a Twitter... Or he created a Twitter account and put out some tweets regarding this console that they're claiming is going to be the most powerful console ever built. Eye roll there. And it's projected specifications, according to him. It's going to be capable of 4K output and VR gaming at 120 frames per second. And that it'll be including a full engine for free game development. And they said that, you know, apparently that it's going to be price competitive with upcoming console prices.
Okay, why are you sighing, though? Because
I'm just sighing because I've heard this before. Like, there's a... Okay.
And to be fair, our chat is lighting up, too. The Phantom 2, says Pod Culture.
It's just
even
like,
more powerful than the Soulja Boy console, says K-Arts. So there's a lot of skepticism going on here.
I am so skeptical because you don't have any fucking experience in developing a console. One. Two, we've seen this shit before, like with fucking Ouya, the fucking Otan console, if anyone remembers what the fuck that is. I mean, there's lots of promises. You can fucking throw out numbers all fucking day long, but until that fucking console comes out, I'm not believing one iota of this shit.
It's a tweet.
It's a fucking tweet.
It's a tweet that that game journalists and blogs and all that are like running with because OMG, new console announcement in a weird way. But I, so you're just like, I'm skeptical until the proof is out there. But if you, you come to an E3 stage and you show this or whatever you want to use in the stage and you show one of these things in public and people play it and it's badass, then
like,
the hype.
The only thing that's missing from this right now is a crowdfunding campaign for this shit. It's really, that's it. I mean, they're not, at least they're not doing that yet, or I don't know if they're planning on doing that. But, like, you know, even other tweets like, yeah, we're going 90 per eye, 180 FPS internally. My CTO has just called me and confirmed that's what we'll be able to deliver. You don't know what the fuck you're going to be able to deliver because you haven't even figured out what the internals of this thing are going to be yet. I'm sorry. It just does. I'm highly skeptical of this. And then they put out, like, a 3D render of, like, the console. But, hey, we blurred the inside because we don't know what the fuck's going inside of it yet. But here's what we've designed on the outside. And, by the way, it's fucking large. It looks like a PC case. I don't care. Do we really need another console? Is this... We don't even know what the next gen of consoles are going to be yet. Like, and you can't say that, oh, this is going to be the most advancing... Fuck you. I mean, seriously, just...
Dang, Loki, go off. Drag her.
It's dumb. I just okay. don't... Like, what is the purpose of this?
Let me get to some less skeptical comments from our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Kaijudo says, it sounds good, but it's going to take a while for them to get any playable games on there. I believe them. Bobby says, I roll my eyes at this, but I'm also excited and have positive things to think about the new Intellivision, so I'm a hypocrite. But, I mean, but in television, you know there's a lot of names going into that. There is console
And
in television's
not trying to, like, oh, yeah, 4K, 180 FPS.
True. In television, actually kind of trying to lower your expectations in a way, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, fine with that.
Trying to say, like, we're not going to be PS4 and all stuff. This is exactly, like,
I
very clear with where their target
huge
is.
Skepticism for anybody out there that comes out with, oh, we got the most powerful console coming out. We're designing it. We don't know what the fuck we're doing, but we're designing the most. It'll be the most powerful thing, and it'll be competitive because, like, it always seems with this type of stuff, closer we get to it, the more vaporware this becomes, and the more they start scaling back their expectations. I don't know. I've never seen a new console just launch like this and actually be successful.
To be fair, it's a tweet. The gaming people that have nothing better to talk about because the holidays have been going on and this is a very slow time of year. And that, unfortunately, is where it cut out for good. At that point, our power went out and it stayed out past the point where Loki ended up going home to make sure his family was okay. And we weren't even getting data on our cell phones. It was the power was out. So that was it. We couldn't really do any more Orange Lounge Radio for this week. So that kind of stinks. But Mother Nature, what can you do? Freak storm. Climate change isn't real. Ha ha. Anyway, what we can do, though, is that even though we didn't get to that part in our show roll, which is like our list of everything we're going to talk about for the week, you guys probably figured out by now that when we're talking about Radio Magic, we mean, yeah, we taped this segment a little earlier in the week. So we actually do have the classic Game of the Week segment already done. So we'd like to present to you for this episode the classic Game of the Week. So that music must mean it's time to take a trip back in space and time and visit the classic Game of the Week, where every week we are joined by, well, hopefully, we're usually joined by the one and only Dark Sakura to pick a classic game from the gaming vault for us to celebrate every week. And we have via the Skype line tonight, Jamie is here. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back.
Yeah.
We missed
you. New year, new me.
Yeah, new year, new you. Have you really changed that much in 2019?
I got some wigs.
I can't wait for you to be back to the show and show off some of those wigs on our new Twitch stream, which has been going very well, but we've missed you.
I've been playing my current game is New Wig Who Dis.
New Wig Who Dis. All right. Let's get to it. A new week, which game? Let's talk about the classic game of the week. What'd you pick for us?
I think a really, really old one, Rob. It's like super old.
Oh, I'm so... Yeah, obviously I'm a little clued in on what it is. And this is one of those games where, like, I'm mad that this is 10 years old. I am mad that this game is 10 years old because that means it's been 10 years since I remember this game coming out.
Yeah, it's The City of Final Fantasy. Might I be too late? And Well, it came out in North America in August of 2009. It actually came out in Japan December 18th, 2008, so it counts. So there was also an international version that came out in Japan based on the North American version called City of Final Fantasy Universal Tuning that came out November 1st, 2009.
What's up with that? Square Enix always does that international version stuff. Always. It's as reliable as, you know, bears shitting in the woods. Square Enix is always going to do
international. You know
that
they make our version better because our version comes out afterwards.
True.
Yeah. So at any rate, the game basically takes characters from different Final Fantasy games and puts them on this big conflict between Cosmos, who's the goddess of harmony, and Chaos, the god of discord. And so the two gods will summon different warriors to fight for their sides in their, quote, 13th war. So in the story, you play 10 characters controlled, chosen by Cosmos, who are the protagonists from the first 10 Final Fantasy games. And you also have other features that are in the international version, such as an arcade mode. So it was actually created because Nomura Tetsuya, who is the director for Kingdom Hearts, wanted to do a Kingdom Hearts spinoff, but they changed to Final Fantasy. And so he designed all the characters in it and, you know, tried to make it appealing to Western players for some reason. But it got really good reviews and generally considered a fun, pretty game.
I did not know it was originally a Kingdom Hearts thing. I wonder if that means we would have had, like, Disney characters and stuff. And maybe I could have finally kicked Donald's...
That's probably why it wasn't.
I could have finally kicked Donald's ass for not healing me.
Right? Or Goofy for taking all the potions.
True.
Well, at any rate, the game was described as what's called dramatic progressive action. And so it is a full 3D game. It has, you can do wireless one-on-one multiplayer, and you can use the different skills of the different characters. You can also customize your characters by adding equipment to them. You know, it's fully 3D field map. You can do special maneuvers in the environment. You've got traps you can set off, all kinds of fun stuff like that. And you then get experience and skill from the battles. You can add, you know, more equipment and further customize your characters. So basically, you know, you're supposed to reduce your enemy's HP to zero. Your defensive and offensive power is showed in what's called BRB, or bravery points. You start off with a certain amount, and you... basically just have to use different HP attacks. You can steal BRB from your opponents with different types of BRB attacks, and there's all kinds of weird shenanigans that go on in the game. But basically, if you have depleted your BRB, basically if it's past zero and into the negatives, you go into break mode, which you can't cause any more HP or BRB damage, but every attack against you is critical. You know, kind of like when your meter goes like max in Smash Brothers. You also have an EX gauge that you can fill in different ways, like doing damage or taking damage or, you know, stealing or taking EX cores from the field. But once it's filled, you go into EX mode where it increases your power and gets new attacks. You get EX bursts, so you have some very damaging special attacks, kind of like the Limit Break. And then, in another mode that's more exclusive to the Western versions, you have arcade mode, which makes it into a traditional fighting game with all the RPG elements removed and the character's ability just down to the basics. So you've got three tiers in that: normal, hard, and time attack. And beating any tier of arcade mode will give you, player points that you can use for stuff in story mode. And all the characters, including the villains, are available in arcade mode except for Golbez, Sephiroth, Kuja, and Jax. They need to be bought with the PP catalog from other modes. And so that really is just the big thing about the game. You've got your 10 characters, which starts off with the Warrior of Light in the first game, Furion, the Onion Knight, Cecil, Butts. It says Barts, but I call him Butts because that's how I first started playing Final Fantasy V.
Because you're a mature adult.
Butts. You know what? Whatever. It was Batsu. Of Terra or T Tina, as she was in Japan, Cloud, Squall, Zidane, and Titus. So, or Titus in the Japanese one. And so they have to retrieve the 10 crystals, which will help them defeat Chaos. And so, you know, you basically have this whole big overlying story, and you've also got two other storylines, one called Distant Glory, where Shanto, I'm going to mispronounce Shantoto, sorry, and Gabranth are introduced with two different areas that they're trapped in and have to find a way out. And then you have Inward Chaos, which is an alternate scenario in which Chaos has never been defeated, and you're guided by something called Shimayu to defeat Chaos. So, yeah, basically it was meant to be a spinoff from Kingdom Hearts when they were developing Kingdom Hearts 2, but Nomura was like, he didn't want the Disney characters to fight each other, and so he opted to use the Final Fantasy characters instead. Although the idea did lead up to the development of Kingdom Hearts 358 by 2 days.
Huh.
And then it also, you know, led up to, you know, other new developments too, like some of the other games that had influence on this was also A Little Bit of the World Ends With You. You know, so they've really tried to involve different things. So they were able to just throw in all kinds of other things. And, of course, as the game progressed, they were able to do sequels, you know, for this. So, you know, because people wanted other characters, too. So they were also trying to include, like, other characters that had tie-ins to the main characters. So, I mean, it's just really overall a very, it's a dynamic game. And then the game was originally licensed in the U.S. as just Dissidia. But then they connected it with Final Fantasy, of course, later on through the Japanese website. The soundtrack was done by Ishimoto Takeharu, and it was actually, the soundtrack by itself was released in December 2008. And it had a regular and special edition, and you know, just really, really good music for it too. Lots of merchandise that came out for it, international version, like I said. There was also a Mystic Silver PSP that came out with a copy of Dissidia Final Fantasy, a 2 GB memory stick, and a copy of Final Fantasy VII Advent Children that came out in August of 2009. And then there was Dissidia Final Fantasy Ultimania Alpha, which was a reference guide for the game. And it was part of the Ultimania series for what they did. Suntory, which is like a whiskey and brewing company, also collaborated with Square Enix to do the Dissidia Final Fantasy potion drinks that came out in Japan. And then there were trading arts figures for the game that had Cloud, Squall, Zidane, Titus, and the Warrior of Light. And then there was a second one that had Sephiroth, Terra, Butts, Furion, and Cecil. So it sold pretty well. It was the 12th best-selling game in Japan in 2008.
Wow.
In the United States, it debuted in 7th place in 2009 in August, despite only having been out for 4 days.
Wow. Well, the Final Fantasy name is a strong thing.
Yeah, so there we go. The game is Dissidia Final Fantasy.
Awesome. I have to admit, I didn't really play it on the PSP. I tried to get into it with that recent PlayStation 4 release. I wasn't really feeling it. But maybe I need to go back and experience the original. I don't know. Maybe I was doing it all wrong.
Possibly.
It was really hard to understand. But I've had that happen with video games, is that like it goes really over my head, and then I'll go back and like play it again, and then I'm like, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. So sometimes the problem isn't the game, Jamie, it's me.
Well, sometimes it is the game, though.
Sometimes it is the game, but I don't think in this case. So anyway. All right, well, there it is, Classic Game of the Week. We do have to get back to the live show, but quickly, Jamie, since it's been a little bit since the listeners heard from you, do you have any, like, gaming resolutions for 2019? Anything you're looking forward to playing or destined to catch up on?
I'm going to stream some shit. Oh. So I would like the listeners to think of a SNES game that they would like to see me play through, and maybe I'll do it if I have it, which I perchance already do.
If it's in the vault somewhere.
It's somewhere in there.
It's true. You're not going to be restricted.
I still want a copy.
I was just saying, you're not going to be restricted to just the classic consoles, or I'm sorry, I mean the classic, like the SNES Classic and those things. You're not just restricted to those, because chances are you probably have the original hardware. I mean, you certainly have the original console, but you probably have the original cart somewhere too.
Well, yeah, I've got the original consoles. I have a lot of original carts. And if I need to, because I was actually thinking, I've got this, you know, big Sony Vega in here that would be perfect for not having to deal with the input lag from the component cable. So we'll see.
All right. Well, best of luck to you in that endeavor. I know a lot of people are trying to focus on streaming this year. I guess us at OLR included with this whole Twitch move we just started a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, it's going to be a big year for streaming.
Absolutely.
All right. Before we let you go, any final words for the listeners before you let you go?
I wish I could eat ice cream.
And with that, that's everything we had for Orange Lounge Radio this week. So I know it was a really weird episode, but what can you do? Anyway, let's all cross our fingers and our toes that we're not going to get hurricane-style storms next week. And we will be back live on Twitch next week, God willing, literally, on January 13th. So you can check that out Sunday, January 13th at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. Thanks, you guys, as always, for subscribing to our show. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening this whole way through, even though it was a really weird episode. Really appreciate you guys. And we'll see you next time, okay? Send us emails for the next show. Participate at orangelaungeradio.com. Tweets would be great, too, at OLR. And that's it. Awkward ending, but what can you do? That's it. Fade to black. Bye.